preaching of the Word of God. And it, as I said at the end, illuminated a lot of things in a lot of areas where we are not as right as we should be. And what we need is repentance. What we need is guidance. And that's what we received. That's what we received. It's easy for us to get used to things, right? We're so used to the things of God and hearing it preached. We talk about, you know, all the pastors this church has had, and then you look at the last three, you know, Brother Titus, Brother Gordon, and now little old me. You know, we look at them and we look at the things that they have taught and the things that they preach and the things that we still have recorded in our archives, that we can dig up and listen to. At lunch we were talking about Brother Hamill. Love hearing Brother Hamill. Brother Hamill's one of the many preachers, that I'll listen to, that I can't listen to without a pen and paper in my hand. You're wasting your time if you don't. And again, we see this. What is the purpose of that preaching? It's not just so that we can say, hey, we heard a good sermon. Hey, listen, that is a good preacher. The purpose of the preaching, the purpose of the teaching is for us to take those things, go home with them, and make credible changes to our lives. So that we, in doing so, would be closer to God and further from sin. Nehemiah 1:1 kind of illuminates this for us. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanai, one of my brethren, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. These conferences, these messages, they're opportunities. When you sit down to read your Bible, it's an opportunity for you to check in with how things are going in your heart. And perhaps you find that there's certain things going on in your heart is afflicted. And perhaps you find that the walls have broken down and all manner of enemy has come into your heart. And now, as we looked at through that series of the devil's darts, the things that are introduced into our lives that develop these terrible symptoms, the anxiety, the frustration, all this stuff that we're facing, we see that those things have come rushing in. Why? Because sin is in there. And we have that opportunity. I don't know about you, but I sat there, each and every last one of them, waiting for one I could just relax during. There wasn't a single sermon didn't walk across one of my toes. And one way or the other, and I could sit there and I could say, hey, brother so-and-so's sermon, when he was talking about this out of this passage of the Bible, it spoke this to me. And you said, well, that's very interesting, brother. I didn't quite get that, but that thing he said later, that was me. And we see that each and every last one of us were in these sermons. At least if you were looking, you'd find yourself. Not a one more perfect than the other. Sometimes we sit there and we go, man, it feels like where he's always preaching on me. No matter where I go, that pastor's preaching on me. That preacher's got something to say. It just seems like it's always me. I wish I was like one of those other Christians. You ever watch a shepherd as they're leading the sheep? There's not many that go unchanged or unafflicted, is there? He's always getting that staff over to bring somebody over. He's always going left or going right, changing direction to take them where they need to be. God is always going to be correcting us. And we all not sit there and say, well, there's some people out there doesn't need the leading that I need. We all need the same leading. Lord, show us. Well, I'm not the Christian other people are. No one is the super Christian. Have you picked up on that yet? How many men in the Bible have you seen had tremendous flaws? And I'm not saying flaws are okay. I'm not justifying them, not even for a second. But we've seen God use imperfect people. Why? Because that's all there is. So don't use it as an excuse. Well, I can't be that way. I'm not a good enough Christian. None of us are. That's where God steps in. That's where God makes the change. That's where God convicts us. That's where our listening and obeying Him comes into play. On our own, we can't. So Nehemiah, he hears this news and he sees the problem. And what does it do? It wrecks him. How many people have ever been wrecked by something God has said to us, either through the word itself or through the preaching of it, and it's destroyed us? And we sat there in the pew and we said, that's it, no more. I'm not going to deal with this anymore, and we're going to get it fixed. And then you go right back out and you do nothing with it. I came home on Friday. Man, the grass is growing, isn't it? I don't get a lot of grass growing in my yard, but the dandelions are there for some reason. Came home Friday. I just mowed the lawn. Came home. Whoosh, go, well, I'm going to have to get on that Saturday after services. I'll get out there on the lawnmower and I'll take care of that. Can I be honest with you? I did not. I said goodbye to my mom. You know, we got to doing stuff around the house. You know, just taking care of some things. Forgot it. Left this morning, and as I was backing out, I was looking at that lawn going, oh, I got to get those dandelions. We leave problems. Now, here's the thing. Dandelions in your yard is one silly thing. How many of us are sitting there going, you know what, Lord, you've talked to me about this sin over and over and over again. Today, I'm going to be serious about it. And he knows you're lying, and you know you're lying. We ought not lie to God. When God does us the service of bringing us under conviction through the Holy Spirit by the preaching of His Word or by the reading of His Word, it is our responsibility to make a change, to do something different. What was the problem presented to Nehemiah? The people are afflicted and the walls are down. We found ourselves there. I am struggling. Either struggling in my Christian walk, struggling with my health, struggling with whatever. And the walls are down. I've got sin coming in and out of my life, not because it just happens to do so, but because I have invited it. If I told you that somebody broke into my car during the conference, you'd say, oh no, brother, what a terrible world we live in. If I told you that I left that car unlocked, you'd say, brother, you asked for it, wouldn't you? And yet we put ourselves where sin is, invite ourselves where sin goes. We turn on the TV, we spend hours in front of just terrible, terrible material. I mean, you just see the blood, guts, gore, sexuality, nonsense we see today all the way around out there. You don't just necessarily have to have a screen up to your nose to see it either. You see it everywhere. And we go, oh man, all this sin in my life, I wonder how it got there. You asked for it to come in. You left the walls down. And if the walls are down, anything can come in. Nehemiah saw the problem, but he didn't just lament over it. He didn't just let his heart break over it. Go to chapter 2, verse 7. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah, and a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertained to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. He gave him the materials. Nehemiah cried. And we missed it, but Nehemiah prayed. Lord, help. But he didn't just say, Lord, help, and I'm going to sit back. How many times have we sat there asking God to fix problems we caused, and we expect to be able to have our hands up, laissez-faire about it, hands off, let's not touch it. God, you just make me not want this anymore. God, you just take care of the side effects of what I've done. No, he said, there's a problem, and I want to fix it. There's a problem, and I want to be a part of the solution. If we have problems, sin problems in our lives, things that we are missing out on because of our disobedience, it is up to us to do something. And it starts by asking for God's help. It starts with submission to God. Lord, your way. Lord, how you said. Not what I'm hoping I can get away with. Not what I'm hoping I can breeze by. Lord, show me. When Nehemiah asked for these materials, it was with the intention of getting some splinters. It was with the intention of leaving his cushy cupbearer job and going out and putting himself on the firing line and doing something about it. And when we turn that internally, And we ask ourselves, now that I have heard, now that I have been admonished, what do I do? Very simple. Lord, help me. Lord, your way. And we want to add on to there. Now I want to work. Give me the materials. Aren't you glad you got the materials? We got this whole book right here. Listen, I don't look like much, but I could help you. You might have to give me a day's for my inexperience. You may have to give me a couple days to study. But I typically come back pretty quick, don't I? We need the Word. You know what else you have that's better than any other friend you could have? You've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You put your eyes on His Word. That conviction comes through. Oh, we have all the materials that we need. We're gearing up for a premarital counseling class. I didn't think it'd be this quick, brother. I didn't. All the preachers I know, all marriages are hard. Weddings are hard. Weddings are hard. You know what's harder than weddings? Marriages. They are hard, aren't they? See, a wedding is hard work for a small period of time. It's hard. It's stressful. You have to get to know people maybe you don't even want to get to know on the other. You know what I'm saying? It's hard work for two families to come together. Marriage is harder, isn't it? Because on the Tuesday you come back from your honeymoon and you're trying to find your stuff or you're trying to find a rhythm to between each other, you all of a sudden realize that it doesn't matter how long you courted each other, that's a person you've never met before. And you change, don't you? You change throughout the years. These things are hard. So we've got premarital counseling. And when Danielle and I went through it, I asked my pastor, being in the position of being trained by him, I said, hey, listen, now that we've gone through it, can I have some copies of the stuff you gave us and some copies of the test stuff that you gave us? And I was talking to him about it. And I'm like, I'm about to break out that stuff you gave me. And he goes, you do know that that was a whole kit you could order, right? And I go, what? He goes, yeah, you order it. You could either get it in a binder, you could order it, you could get it to where you could just print it off. That got me excited. Poor Tyler, when he left today, he wasn't expecting me to hand him a stack of papers this big. And I'll tell you what, that's only the beginning. Why? Because these things are hard. And what must we do for people who are preparing to do something hard? It is our responsibility to give them the tools. Not to pick on them, but it's a very good point. How often when people tell you, hey, I've been engaged, we start making jokes about marriage. So you're signing up to have the old ball and chain attached to you, huh? Can I tell you this? That's not helpful. It's not. You're going to booger it up. They're going to booger it up. You're both going to booger it up. And it's hard when you're both being the problem. I don't think my wife's ever done anything where I wasn't part of the problem. I think we've had a single fight where I wasn't part of the problem. And if you come here and you tell me, well, no, I've never been a part of the problem in our arguments, I'm going to tell you right now, you're lying to me. If you've been married for longer than 3 seconds, you've been a part of the problem. I told him this story, though. I told him a story about how Danielle's in my first big fight after we got married. She went out and she slept on the couch. And I got confused and I went out and I slept with her. She goes, what are you doing? I go, I don't know. And I'll tell you this, I never figured it out. We need preparation. We think, well, I've got this handled, brother. I've been a part of a church. I've been a member of a church. I've been sitting under good preaching for X number of years. I've got it all figured out. You could have the knowledge and it mean nothing to you. Listen, you've got problems with addiction. I've got material. You've got problems on issues in your family. I've got material on it. Good scriptural information. We're not talking what the world can give. We're talking what God has already given us. We're talking solutions based on that faith once delivered kind of stuff. I've got material and verses. I could put it together. I could talk. I could cry with you. I could pray with you. You can have all the stuff. But if you never take it to the city, you never put it into play, what good is it? How many times have you known the answer and then you came and you asked for advice and somebody gave you an answer you already knew? You ever feel silly that way? I knew that. I do that from time to time. I knew that. How come you didn't do it? Because you weren't thinking. And you needed a friend, someone who loved you, to come by and give you a push. That's what the preachers are doing, by the way. There's someone who loves you, giving you a push in God's direction. That's why we use the book. Because I tell you what, man could not come close to solving the problems we have today. Can't. Well, that's very narrow-minded. You show me some success. You show me some success out in this world. Where a man has come up with ideas, oh, but look at how much money they have. Look how well they did. You know, I knew somebody, they were giving advice on, they're giving advice on sales training and how to have good sales. And somebody pointed to me and said, well, they've got to be a good salesperson. Look how much money they make. I go, they're not making money in selling things. They're making money in selling themselves, selling you their program. You don't know if it's going to work or not. You don't know if any of this stuff happens. They just know they can get you to buy them. You got no idea they can help you sell a car or rent an apartment or sell a house. You just know that they're really good at hooking you. And that's what this world is. It sounds good. But you tear back the curtain and you find a small little man where you thought the Wizard of Oz was. Right? Oh, he's this great, fantastic teacher. Right? Oh, we love what he has to say. He's very charismatic. Oh, look at Dr. So-and-so. They've got a radio show. Don't you just love a psychologist that's got a radio show? And you peel back the curtain and you see what they're in trouble for. Can't remember the name of that therapist. Got arrested. Was supposed to be the champion of people who were being hurt in their private lives. And yet he himself was doing the harm. We need to take the materials we are given. Now look, when he went for the wood, he went for a particular place for the wood, didn't he? Because he knew that what he was doing for God. He needed something specific. And in this world, we take too many turns going over the world going, hey, I'll take anything you got. But instead, what we need is the whole counsel of God. That's what we need. We need the thus saith the Lord. I tell you what, there's no better cure for anything that ails you than the Lord. Visited Sister Ruth. They've got everybody out in the waiting room. Why? Because they got that ransomware over there at Ascension. And it's causing havoc. Essentially, they're holding back materials. A group is coming, hold back materials, and is charging them or ransoming off that information to the hospitals, wanting the hospitals to pay it before they'll give it free. They're having a hard time treating people. They're prone to make mistakes. Now, someone's going to get hurt. Someone might die. So that place is packed. And if you do get to go see a doctor, you've got to trust that that doctor is awake. You've got to trust that they're not going to make a mistake today. Why? Because it doesn't matter how great your doctor is, they are still human. Man, I've met incredible doctors. I was super impressed by the team of doctors that we met with Sister Danielle. Pray for her. Her surgery is June 7th. Very impressed. Very professional, very knowledgeable. I had a young man with him, a young lady with him, and they were just kind of going over stuff, explaining things to us. I felt real at ease. As still just a person. And it's still just people. Be it a man or a woman, it is still just flesh. Prone to mistakes. You know who never makes mistakes? The great physician. So when I get sick and when I see that you are ailing and I see that you are hurting, I pray to the great physician. Who doesn't play havoc with my insurance bills at all. When you got problems with your finances, when you've got problems with discord in your family, when you've got issues, it is the Lord we go to. And not just to say, Lord, come help this. We should, we have to, but we must also turn to His Word and get the materials we need to fix it. We talked about the Ten Commandments for the last several Sundays. There are things in those commandments that would fix everything we've got going on in this world. If we would just submit to God and do what He said, we'd be all right. But we do things our way, and what do? We make messes. We create trouble. God provides us the materials. And if you have the materials, you need to do something with them. I used to know people, they like to collect building materials for potential projects. You ever know those? Why do you have 17 cars in your backyard? Well, I'm going to fix them. Oh, okay. And you only ever see them buy new cars, but you never ever see them fix them. Well, I'm going to. You got the materials? Well, here's the thing. Would you consider maybe getting rid of 3 or 4 of those cars so your wife could build a nice little garden she's been asking you for? No, because I've already got the parts for those cars down in the basement. Not all of them, but a good amount. I know this one needs an alternator. I got an alternator down there for it. I can't get rid of it. I hope I'm not hitting too home for some folks. Hopefully I'm just picking on your neighbors. What are we doing? We want the materials. We have the materials. You never put them together, you still just have a mess. Now you have a mess and you got some room being taken up. What should we do? Nehemiah 4 verse 6. So built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. I think that's it. I think it really does boil down to what we heard so often, is having a mind to do the thing you're supposed to do. You know, I thought about Brother Clark's story about that dog. She had a mind to put the poor thing down, but she didn't want to. Now, I've got a special place in my heart for dogs. You know I'm not going there. I would never sit there and say, what's wrong with you? I know what's wrong with you. I got a special place in my heart. That's a hard decision to make. And it destroyed me. We've had to make that decision a couple times. Destroys you. But you know what? We treat our sins that way, don't we? I love my dog. When I look frustrated or I'm tired, if I just look wore out, my dog will come over and he'll put his head on my lap. I love that boy. He makes me smile. He gives me exercise. We'll go out. We'll throw that ball. He does all manner of good for me. If somebody comes by that shouldn't be coming by, Michael came into the house they came in without knocking, didn't they? Because that's the kind of friends we are. You have friends that just come on and you don't knock. Came in without knocking. I was okay with it. My wife was okay with it. Hans was not okay with it. He does stuff for me. Short of that little thrill your sin gives you, it doesn't do anything for you. It messes up your yard. It eats your food. It leaves a mess everywhere. But it doesn't do anything for you. If we need to have a mind to work to get that stuff out, to build the walls up again. We need to have a mind to do the things we haven't been doing. We need a mind to do the things we've been putting off doing. And when we need to put down a pet sin, we need to put down a pet sin. Given all the materials and everything that we have, it is important for us. It is necessary for us. It is vital to us. To do what we've been told to do. So often we ponder and we wait and we hold on. But if we've been told to surrender, we should surrender. And in that surrendering is not a passiveness. Wouldn't it be nice if Nehemiah could just sit there and his heart would break and he would pray and God would give him peace and he'd be like, all right, I feel better now. I feel better. And then he could go on being a cupbearer. That's what we want. Lord, break my heart, make me feel better, and then let me go back to my life of ease. That's not the life we have. That's heaven, folks. That's what heaven is. When we no longer have to worry about sin, when we don't have to worry about terrible things going on around us. I was just reading about downriver. There was a car, ran up on the side of a road, hit a bunch of pedestrians sitting there. Terrible. Terrible. That world where we live in a place where that doesn't happen anymore, that's on the other side. But until then, we have to do the work. You have to clean yourself up. You have to take the word of God, apply it to your life, and make a difference. You have the materials, right? You got the problem. You have the materials. Now build the wall. For whatever sermon is still on your mind from this weekend, from whatever word that you've read that's bothering you today, you take that lumber, you take that brick, you take that mortar, and you do with it what God has told you to do. Repent. Because I'm not waiting for the next conference to be right with God. I'm not waiting until the next conference so I can get someone to come and rattle my heart again. I'm gonna make a change. I'm gonna make a change. And then you don't make a change. And we'll wait for the next conference. Or the next revival. Or the next time pastor stumbles across a good sermon to preach, you know? We just wait. No, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We get right today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we appreciate these messages. Lord, but most of all, we appreciate your word. Because without them, there'd be no need for the messages. And without your word, there'd be nothing for us to hold on to, nothing to teach us. And Father, when the Holy Spirit goes to move us, we would be so lost without the word to tell us where to go. So help us, Lord, to read your word, to hear the preaching. And Lord, take the materials that you've given us and Father, go to work. Help us clean up our lives, Lord, by using your word and conviction. Help us, Lord, to repent. We love you, Father, and we can't thank you enough for your patience with us. Be with Sister Ruth as she's in the hospital. I pray that perhaps even now she's gotten good news and she's on her way home. Amen. Lord, be with those with loved ones in the hospital. Lord, we consider Tiffany right now in there. They're trying to deal with her pain and get her comfortable and out those doors. Lord, I know she wants to go home. I pray you take care of her. Help her to get there. For Brother Bill with his test coming up on Tuesday, I pray, Lord, that we see good results. Lord, wonderful results. Lord, we're going to praise you anyway, but Father, help us. Help us to see good results there. And Lord, for Sister Danielle, as she prepares to do things, and for the Clarks as they are traveling, for Brother McGahan, Lord, we could go on all day of the people that are hurting. Sister Mary, Lord, the people that are even in this room right now dealing with chronic pain issues, Lord, heal them. And help us, Lord, to be found faithful in your eyes. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.